morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. Today we are recording episode number 71, and I have the honor and the pleasure to be with Jose Gustavo Souza from the Dubbing Company. And also I have with me Renato Somera. Welcome both of you gentlemen to the call. Welcome to the recording. I'm happy to have you with me. I'm happy to get to know you personally first, and happy to get to know your company. I can't wait to tell our audience about you personally and about the company that you work for and then you represent. And hopefully after this episode, after this conversation, people will get to know you a little bit better, know who you are, give you a little bit of more exposure, and hopefully that it's positive for you and positive for the audience. Always good to know another company in our industry. What do you do and how you do it? So again, welcome to the channel. Welcome to the conversation. Like I say on this channel, let's get started with the obvious question that on everybody's mind. And we'll start with Jose, if you don't mind. Just give us a little bit of an introduction. And if you don't mind, including your localization story. The localization story, meaning how did you get into the localization industry? The floor is yours, Jose.
Hi, Robin. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here talking with you and your audience. It was a very good opportunity to talk about ourselves and our work, our company. Our company, Dubbing Company, is located in Brazil. We are near from São Paulo, kind of 80 kilometers, in a city called Campinas. Campinas is a huge center of technology here in Brazil. It's not our area, but it's just a reference about the city. It's very huge, one city, more than 1 million people living here. We get in localization industry 12 years ago, approximately. I came from an audiovisual company called the Fábrica do Som. It's another company that works together here with us. That we use work with audio in advertisement marketing, doing jingles, doing soundtracks to movies, commercials. And in a certain point, I had a friend that I work in a studio in Miami, a dubbing studio in Miami, and he calls me, "We have a movie here to dubbing. Do you want to do this?" I said, of course I want to do. We never had before make a dubbing for a movie, 90 minutes. We used to work with 30 seconds, 1 minute. But the workflow, the things are the same, but the only difference is the size of the work. So that moment I said to me, we can do this with any problem. Let's do it. And we did. We started to do the dubbing of this movie. We delivered it. The movie was showed in the Brazil in a huge channel here called the Bandeirantes. It's a channel, an open channel, open TV. And that moment I discovered and I feel the good feeling to do this. Wow, very nice work, because it's totally different from ad. In advertising, you make audio and music and sounds to sell products, to sell ideas. Localization, a movie, you are not selling anything. You are just making possible to the people, to the audience, to understand, comprehend, and to be in contact with that content, that movie. So it's totally different. The assets that we had to be here without us is the same. We have the record rooms, mixers, microphones, headphones, everything is the same thing, but we just switch the direction to do this. And at this moment, we decide to let's grow up in this industry. The things starting going up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, most opportunities or most possibilities in life, they come across by, you know, receiving the phone call or being in a meeting somewhere, you know, coincidentally, somebody throws something at you and it's positive. Normally we think when somebody throws something at you, it's negative. But most of the time, you know, we have the wrong perception about these things. And you're absolutely correct when you say, you know, you got the phone call, you have the opportunity, and all you have to do is repurpose of what you currently have and switch direction to look where the possibility is. And, you know, this is goes along the idea, and we'll talk about it a little down the road, about the transformative or the transformation that you had to go through your organization to switch direction from one business type to another business type, still within the same services, but you're directing to another objective. If you don't mind, Renato, from your side, have you always been in localization, Renato? Or, you know, I know you do business development. So how, tell us your story. Introduce the world to you.
Okay. So pretty much I know Gustavo since I was little. He used to work with my father, the advertising industry. And I went to this way too, like over two decades working in advertising and marketing, work for broadcasters and other local channels in the production side, like doing video direction, editor and something. And I was 10 years ago, I was about to get married and I was needing an extra money and I was looking for an extra job for doing at night. And I reached Gustavo, do you have something for me to do at night? And I started working with him and I got married and I continue to work with him because I like this in the production side. I think was maybe 1 year later, I decided to move in, accept the opportunity to join to the big company team, still in the production area. And as the time's going, I decided to try to move for the business development and the C-level side. I studied a little bit and took the opportunity. And I've been in the localization side as business development pretty much 5 to 6 years and only at the big company.
So how do you like business development?
This is a tricky question. Business development is good when you have something to development, but it's you need to dig much to starting some relations and developing the job. And I think this is the most impressive thing that you cannot delegate. So it's something depends on the people. It's not, I don't think there will be an AI for doing development without the person behind.
Yeah, AI is a big topic. Everybody's worried about AI and, you know, it's transforming everything we do, not just in the localization business or in the language industry. It's touching everything we do. But glad to have you both on the call today. And I'm happy to have met you and I'm happy to introduce you to the audience. And the audience is happy also to meet you. I was speaking on their behalf because this is episode 71. And every time an expert, every time a new face, every time a brand new name comes into the channel and talk about the localization industry on our channel, it's improving and it's driving the message. We need extra voices in our industry. I look around and you guys can see this, you know, the film industry's got many voices, the pharmaceutical industry's got a bunch of voices, automotive industry, you know, you name the industry. I mean, there's no lack of voices in our industry. There are few things going on but not enough people telling the story of our industry. And I'm hoping that this channel will be a venue for you, for the dubbing company, for Gustavo and Renato to tell their story to our audience as we're doing today. So let's continue on with the theme of telling the story. Now, I understand the dubbing company, as Gustavo mentioned earlier in the introduction, that you target the movie industry. And I would like to highlight to our audience that there is an old movie machine behind or above Gustavo's head in the picture, and that's a classic movie machine. So he'll tell us the story in a bit, but it's evident that Gustavo likes the movies, like the movie industry. And I think that call that came in and pivot you into the movie industry, I think it was a successful one. Just tell us give us an idea about the company. How big is it? How many employees? What technology do you use? Is it a manual process? Is it an automated process, if you don't mind Gustavo.
In fact, Robin, this is an audio machine. This is a recorder that when I started working with audio in 90s, approximately 90s. And in that moment, I used to manage the analog tapes. And when I discovered that I am working in other, the first time that I go in an audio studio for the very first time, and I feel that smell, the smell of technology, smell of the lights blinking. So I think this is my place. I feel immediately this is my place. And everything started at that point. After that, I work in that studio. And after I work in another studio, doing some jobs, recording like a technician. Certain point appears the opportunity to make my first jingle of 30 seconds and my first commercial song, and I do it, and this jingle was awarded even here in our city. So I realized that this is a good way, and I start my own studio. I have the opportunity to be parents that helped me in that moment. I would like to set up my first studio, and they believe in me, in my talent, in my strength to do that. This recorder was the first one that I bought to send to the radios. Né? When we did music to radios, it was necessary to send it in a record tape that used this machine to record the songs, the music, and send the tape. It was not like a cassette, you know? It's not a cassette tape. It's a circular one, like that one, but smaller, you know, that you record the songs there and send the materials for it. This guy's works until today. He's, I believe, 32 years old and working properly. The engine has a problem 5, 8 years ago, because my daughter was fascinated to push the buttons and see the machine invest forward, back forward. And certain point, the engine
gave up.
But I think, yeah, totally. But I fixed it because I would like to be the things working properly. And this is the story of this guy. I'm losing the point that you're asking me. Sorry.
Yeah, the other point was around like how, how is the company structured, a dubbing company?
Oh, yes. We are now in a facility like 270 meters square. We have today here in our studio six rooms, six booths for recording, ADR recordings. We have four rooms to mixing. Two of them are 5.1, other ones 2.0, and the other rooms are to the administrators. Five or six offices of administration, finance. Clients relations and project managers, mm-hmm. And other things. In this, we are in the.
How many employees, Gustavo, you have?
Nowadays, we are kind of 20 employees full time. But we had in the past, like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, a moment very, very strong of the market with 40 employees.
Okay.
Full-time. Part-time freelancers, we have more than 500 persons between voice actors, between directors, technicians, translators. What else, Bernardo? I believe that, mm-hmm. kind of 500. And
Gustavo, is your employees working from the office or remotely? What is your model, I guess, for employees?
A pandemia brings to us the new era, né? We can say this, the new era and the new possibilities to do. In that moment, everybody goes to home and we have to learn how to work in this situation. So we open a new possibility, né? But nowadays, the majority of the people work here in the office all day, and sometimes somebody makes a mixed
hybrid style.
Hybrid?
Yes. Yeah. Hybrid. Yes. Thank you very much. Hybrid in home, in office, But in office, in home, just the not the production area because the
Administrative?
sensitivity of, yeah, the ministry, yes.
Yeah,
The production area totally here, yes.
because I assume the production needs to happen in a recording.
Exactly.
And do you use technology to produce the dubbing, or is it primarily a manual process? I don't want to call it manual, a human process.
Today, 100% manually is a manufacturing production. Each voice, each recording, for now, is doing by human persons. But we are in a moment now with the advance of AI, studying how you can use this to get better our job, our workflow. But now, right now, it's totally manually.
And you mentioned earlier about the market that you try to target. Is it just the movie market or the studio for movie studio, or do you expand beyond that? Like, who is your market? Who is your customers? No, I don't need to know like specifically who your customers are, but just the market
No.
that you try to address.
We
I
work
believe
at
that Renato can say about that.
We work at in the entertainment industry, e-learning, and maybe for companies as well. Like everything that needs to be localized language to language, we can work on. Nowadays, pretty much for movies, series, training,
Animations.
animation for kids, and everything that sounds, we can work on. So.
Of course. And
This
go ahead, Gustavo. Sorry to interrupt.
no, this is a very huge expertise of us, né, Renato? We work with a very good titles for kids, and we develop ability to deal with this, with the language and the kids. We have to be careful with the words, with the things that. So, and this kind of job brings to us too the possibility to work with music, localization of music. And every series of kids has songs,
Yeah.
and these songs are localized
Oh, wow.
too. This is a very huge expertise that we have due to the 30 years in the industry making music. It's a very nice job, not even dubbing the actors and the original actors, but doing the version, doing the localization of the songs too. This is very
I
nice.
imagine like it's a very tricky business to be in, especially when you're talking about localizing songs and capturing the emotions and capturing the idea and from the original content and putting it into the local content or target language content. So not just only the music that has to be transferred, but maybe the words sometimes is very difficult because, if you write a poem in English and you try to recreate that same poem in Portuguese, it's not small, easy job to do because
No, yes.
you're trying to get the feelings, the emotions, and the constraint of the words that you're going to be using becomes a little interesting for you. How do you do it?
It's totally demanding to be a musician to do this. In a song, you have a thing that is totally mandatory. I don't know if it's in English, but the metric of the song. Ta, 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 ta. This is a metric of a song. In English, there's some words, an idea with these words. In Portuguese, we have to maintain the meaning, maintain the sense of this word, but to fit to this metric. We don't, it's impossible to say exactly the same thing, but you have to maintain the meaning. So it's very tricky. It's tricky, but it's a exercise to try. No, not this one. Try another one. Oh, this is good. This fits good. Portuguese is a very rich language. Né? We have a very different ways to say the same thing. So if you have a word with three, how I say in English?
Syllables. Syllables.
Syllables. Yes. If you have three syllables to say something, you can use another word with two syllables because my metric it has two syllables. So don't you? You had to put the substitution about this. It's very interesting. I used to do a lot of this. Nowadays, not so much, but It's very tricky, but very exciting too, because it's demanding to find a solution, to find a way to go, and because the music must go on. The show has
to go on. Absolutely. You know that one, Gustavo. That's pretty good.
Exactly.
Can I make a point? For reference, despite of all this challenging, when you look at our team doing this, it's like they are playing, they are joking, they are doing it without no difficult. For me, especially that I'm not a musician, it's hard to see, but a business they can do this is mesmerized. Like sometimes in a single coffee cover, they do a song. So the only word for this is talent, and the only word for this is talent.
So does this mean like in the world that we live in today, where everything is being driven to be automated, everything is being driven to be using like artificial intelligence, does this mean like where you work and the market that you serve, this particular market that you serve, the type of things that you do, Gustavo explained it very well, like trying to take a song from one language, localize it into another language, creating this, keep the same music, but create other words with the same meaning to maintain the same rhythm in the. Do you feel like there's always going to be a market that's going to be automated, but the specific market that you address, it's very difficult to automate? That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, for sure.
Is there a role for technology? It doesn't matter like if you automate the full, you know, process, but is there a way to use technology to in certain parts of the process, not the entire process? Do
yes,
you feel?
For sure.
Who wants to take on? Renato, right. Can you answer that?
For sure. No, there's always room for improvement. And I think the most important lesson that AI is coming to us is that they are looking for something fast and something cheaper and keeping the quality. And the only thing you can do this is let the machine do the hard work and left with the human, the things that only the human brain can do.
That's right. And you know what? There are like, I mean, so 22 years in the business. So my story, I just tell you my story here. I guess I've said it on this podcast many times. I'll say it one more time. It's not going to hurt anybody. So I've said this story before when we did our prep call, but you know, 22 years later, after my initial entry into the business, 22 years ago, we were talking about, you know, the market being a pyramid, meaning the top of the pyramid is the high quality that requires thinking, that requires artistic ability to deliver, that requires, you know, a lot more attention to. So high quality, high price at the top of the pyramid. And, you know, as you go down the base of the pyramid, now you're starting to look at low, I don't want to call it low quality, but I want to say acceptable quality, lower prices kind of a services. It doesn't matter if you're doing dubbing, if you're doing content creation, if you're doing translation, it doesn't matter what you're doing. That market is formed into that pyramid. So we're talking about it 22 years ago. And now it's the same story, same valid formula still exists, meaning that you are in the business where you're serving the top of the pyramid in terms of skills, in terms of quality of deliverables. You cannot replicate that in technology easy. There are some people who say, oh, it's a matter of time, but we'll see. At this point, you cannot do that. And so as you go down, and you mentioned e-learning, you mentioned a few things. So even in the e-learning, and I was working in e-learning before, if even in the e-learning space, there are some quality benchmarks. So it's all about categorizing the content. You want high quality content? This is high quality service. You want medium quality service, or medium quality content? This is high medium quality service. And low quality service content require low quality service. Categorization of content. I guess this is where the world is going to. And it's sort of driving there unintentionally without anybody talking about it. Because our industries, it doesn't matter if you're doing dubbing or you're doing whatever you're doing in our industry, is categorized in, we always have that thing in our mind as an industry. Everybody wants to produce top quality. Okay, I get it. You can paint the Mona Lisa once, but you cannot produce 200 Mona Lisas in the same day. If you are being asked to do that, you have to find a way around producing, you know, that piece of art that you're trying to do more efficiently down the road. At this point, again, the market is segmented into three categories, at least three categories at this point. So, and you guys are serving the top of the pyramid. So from a marketing perspective, so A, how do you go about marketing your services? And I hope this podcast helped you a little bit. How do you go about marketing your services and who do you market to? Renato, you want to take that on?
For sure. I think pretty much I was thinking about what you were saying, like we need to think like AI as something that can potentialize our PO ability. So if you do some with quality, AI can improve that. And so just making this about in terms of marketing, this our goal is being known as a company that can localize content for every place into any language. And not only with AI, and not only with this technology, and provide this quality that you are looking for, not something automated. And I think maybe this is.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you saying is that, just for the audience, what I'm hearing you saying is you're going to be addressing each market depending on what the market needs and where you're going to be addressing that market in terms of, you know, what services you are going to offer that market. If it's, you know, if the studio that makes the movie versus the e-learning company or the company that requires e-learning services are completely different. So do you serve, now talk geographically for to me, you know, I'm assuming you serve global customer. Am I correct by saying that?
Yeah. Global customers.
So customers are based not necessarily in Brazil, but they could be based outside of Brazil, correct?
Yeah, 9% of our current clients are abroad.
Okay. And Gustavo, in your opinion, you know, having dealt, I'm sure you deal with customers all the time. From your meeting with customers that buys your services, can you tell me why they choose to work with you? Like, what is the common theme in terms of why they choose to work with your company?
This first thing is the obvious one, that you must to have quality. And we are a company that are totally concerned about the quality of the things, the process. Make a dubbing of a product, for example, has a lot of process, starting with the translating, with the adaptation. And after this, the selection of the casting, who will play this guy, this woman, this is a very important part of that. The recording process is the essential of the localization service is that moment that the microphone is open and the record button is pressed and the director says go. This is a very huge important situation. And after that, all the things that you put together in the final project, correct the lip sync, correct some errors. Oh, we have to record this one again because there is a mistake here. The quality control is very important. But beyond that, that is totally obvious. You must have quality. If you don't have quality, we have security in our studio. We have a TPN certification, so we have an instructor here that is totally safe with all content that we deal here with in our server, in our instructor. We are totally protected with these machines, with that TPN demanding. So this is very important. But I believe that the fast response that our company has, this is a huge thing that Renato developed in this position. In a certain point, everybody says, whoa, you're so fast. Oh, but you respond to me so immediately. Renato is totally taking care of this. The client demands something, here he is. I need a quote, here's the quote. I need a correction, here's the correction. With velocity, the sympathy, of course, disponibility all the time.
Availability,
Availability, yes. The client, we believe, and we feel these are things that are differential, how I say.
Yeah, differentiator.
I think that, of our company.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Now, one of the major challenges for our industry in general right now is the I call it the price war, because everybody is fighting, you know, because there's a revenue challenges for the industry, right? So as you guys know, everybody in the industry is looking for revenue, and rightly so. However, which now when you're fighting for revenues, it creates the momentum of price down. But if you're focusing on quality, then you can ask for more money for your services. Is this what you're experiencing? Can you ask for more money for your services, or you're also suffering from the price pressure? Gustavo, you want to take that on?
Renato?
Okay. No, we cannot ask for more money. We understand the price war, and we are facing that. And this is something that press our... But it's not something we can pass along, like the price. Everybody says that I have a cheaper one, I have a low cost, I need low costs. And sometimes even they did not give you feedback, like how much for this X. Okay, never came back. This is different, probably is different around the globe, but here in Brazil, you used to say like, are you saying yes, as X, but can you do for a little bit less? I have something less than that. Can you cover this and can you do it for this? And that is something that you cannot face abroad, like work in some type of markets. You give your price when they ask you for your best price and they did not questioning or did they not give you feedback. Like I will not close with you because this is that's too high for me now. And maybe next time you can do for a little bit less and
yeah,
we cannot.
So you guys are seeing the same pressure then on price?
Yeah.
Yes.
And even though like on your side, I mean, the process is completely manual. I mean, you have staff, you have to pay for the staff. You have expenses, you have to pay for the studios, you have to pay for the offices. Gustavo, from a business perspective, from a business strategy perspective, obviously when you're running a company, you're worried about the top line of the company, meaning revenue, and you're also worried about profitability. You don't want to run a company that is not profitable. Nobody wants to do that. So how are you balancing all this from a business strategy perspective, Gustavo?
These are very good questions. It's difficult for sure. At this point, at this moment, we are seeing AI, for example, a possibility to reduce the costs, for example. We can manage some parts of the process using AI. Translate is one of them, for example. Today, the translation by AI is very good. The results are very good. So this is a kind of a thing that we can starting to spend less money, for example. In a series, so in a whole play, we have three categories of actors, like a pyramid. The top of them, the principals. The second level, the coadjuvants. How I say the second
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, second level, yeah.
Second level. The base of this pyramid is huge in a movie. For example, there is two principals, four together with this one, and 30 just saying a few words, just saying, oh, hi, sir, please don't do that. A few words. But in Brazil, we have some rules about the payment for the actors. If the actors goes to a studio, at the minimum, I have to pay the minimum tax for these guys, the minimum price. And somebody... It don't say words to fit with the minimum, but I have to pay the minimum.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
If I use AI to play these roles, for example, is a manner to reduce a little bit our costs. We have to face this. If the prices are decreasing, I have to decrease in the costs too.
Sure.
And sometimes negotiate with the press. Guys, we have a project here. It's a little bit... cheaper with the price a little bit above.
Yeah,
let's work with this price instead of this one. So this is kind of thing is possible too. We are facing this.
It's a balancing act, right, isn't it, Gustavo? You're always trying to balance things, right?
Exactly.
But
go ahead,
Renato.
Without mentioning that sometimes you ask the like can I use some AI technology to perform your job? Because per contract, we need to advise the client of the technologies we are using and everything.
Yeah.
The first question is, how much can I earn with the disease? So no, I'm just trying to not increase the cost for you. I'm trying to improve, but without, no. So if I will not have any money advantage, you cannot use the technology. So pretty much technology comes with the lower prices. It's
yeah, 100%.
It's a combo.
100%.
It's a combo.
So, you know, I can't help it, but every time I talk to a company or executives such as you guys on this channel, and the price discussion comes up, and every time I look at what's going on in the industry, and I don't see a price going flat. I don't even see it bump up. It's always a slightly down overall. You know, every company, I guess, differ from the other company, but overall, you see the price always, you know, on the trajectory downward, which, you know, like if you put statistics in place and you project it like 5 years down the road, you know, you start wondering, you start asking the question, you know, is this service going to be free at some point? What is the future? I hope not. I hope we can, you know, the translation industry or the language industry will always be around. I mean, it's been around since the Babylon day, 10,000 years ago, and it will continue on. So, but the question becomes this. Is this service being attacked by technology to the point of rendering the service neutral? And I'd love to get your, you know, 5-year projection on this one. Where do you see this thing like 5 years down the road? Gustavo, you want to take that one, or in?
I believe that the audience will decide which kind of content he has, because AI can do a dubbing, full dubbing of a movie, for example, but now, for instance, the result, it's a little bit cold. It's a little bit hard. It's pretty much difficult to bring emotions. Yeah. Subtle details in communication, expressions. I believe that in Brazil, recently, we had a situation that Globosat, you know, Bernardo, Globo is a huge company here. They put a movie, a redubbing of a movie, Boeing 744, the history of the plane crash, something like that, totally dubbed by AI. The audience doesn't like it, make a lot of complaining about that. So I believe that the only manner that we will survive in 5 years is that the audience is to continue wanting the human things. I believe that Netflix will put in the menu by AI, by humans, for example, and you choose that you want.
Decide,
so
yeah.
I believe that, yes, I believe that in the 5 years, our future is all we are selling, we're using something with AI too. I don't know. It's a tricky question for sure.
And you know, things are, you know, to your point, Gustavo, technology is not static anymore. It's not sitting in the same place. It's evolving. And the velocity of the evolution is pretty fast. So I, you know, my background is technology. I used to be a programmer back in the early days. And I used to see, like, when somebody wants to develop a software, you know, it takes a while to develop a software. It's not easy back then. Now you want to put a software together, it's pretty quick. You know, every day I see new things being put out there. So the development cycle went from a year and a half, 2 years, to like a few months, 2-3 months. Now you can put something together. It's not that hard. And so as technology continues to evolve and technology continues to introduce us to new possibilities, you're right, Gustavo. It's got to be the user or the consumer who chooses, you know, how do I consume the content? Do I want content that's generated by AI? Do I want content generated by a human? It's like today in any consumable. Like if you want to go to buy a loaf of bread, so you either go to the supermarket and buy it, you know, where they produce bread in large quantities, or you go to the local bakery where, you know, they make it by hand, they craft the bread, you know, they take their time, and there's a cost for that. Obviously, you pay more for that than you would pay to go to the supermarket where they produce them by big truckloads. And any consumable, this is rendering, and this is where it's very disheartening to see this industry going from a professional service to more like a a consumable product. Of course, every content is a consumable product, but would love to continue being seeing this industry at a professional level, not necessarily being dragged down to how many cents per word or how many cents per minute. You know, eventually, like we've seen this in the printing industry, you know, they used to sell the hardware. They used to sell you the Xerox machine. Then they moved away from selling you the Xerox machine. They sell you the services associated with the Xerox machine. They take the machine, they park it at your place with a little bit of extra money, and then they sell you the services associated with that. We may be heading to a model where it's an uncharted territory, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I think in 5 years, there is a lot of water running below the bridge. And I believe that the customer will decide, okay, but there's some point between what we have today and we can have in the future that is the price.
Correct.
So the customer do not like AI dubbing today because they have the other type of dubbing without any additional cost. Mm-hmm. So in the future, will they decide to continue preferring human dubbing if they used to pay more, or they will be enough with the AI dubbing, like bread, you said, bread, two type of breads, both of them feed you, but you have an extra cost. So how much worth this additional cost for your pure placement? So this will be in the future. You were saying about technology before. When I learned about computer science 20 years ago, they used to say that technology used to twice their capacity in 18 months. We are seeing AI twice in their capacity in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So where it will go? Yeah,
100%.
How far?
100%. So before we wrap it up, I just want to tell our audience, dubbingcompany.com.br, that's the website for the dubbing company that we're talking to today, Gustavo and Renato. And their website, I'm impressed with the visual on your website. Very nice website. Check it out, www.dubbingcompany.com.br, and we'll put that on the screen as we do the edit for people to reach out to Renato and Gustavo. And if you need to reach out to Renato and Gustavo, you can find them on LinkedIn. By the way, Gustavo, I just sent you a connection request. I didn't know we were not connected. I thought I'm connected to people, but apparently I wasn't connected to you. So I send you an invitation. Hopefully you accept that. No, thank you so much. Before we wrap it up, if you don't mind, first I want to thank you for coming to the channel. Thank you for being with me today. Thanks for telling the story about you, your personal story about languages, and also the story about the dubbing company. I'm impressed of what you're doing. I'm very impressed of the level of professionalism and the quality that you're trying to maintain in a very strange world that we live in, and you managed to do this. So congratulations. Thank you for maintaining that level of professionalism and level of quality in the deliverables. So thanks for that. Thanks again for being part of this conversation today. Hopefully you'll find some benefit from this conversation down the road. Most people do. I hope you get something out of it. And before I wrap it up, I want to leave you with the last word. We'll start with Renato and we'll close with Gustavo.
Great. Thank you, Robin, for the opportunity. We crossed each other at the LinkedIn and was a very instant fit. And I really like your job and you are very, very good people. And I would like to compliment, like, despite we are talking about your technology, we are seeing in a fighting about energy. And I think we did mention in this podcast before, but a dubbing company runs only with the solar energy. And I think I would dare to say that we are the only dubbing studio here in Brazil that have this clean energy and to save some CO2 to
absolutely
the atmosphere.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
And I also would like to thank you for this opportunity and keeping doing this because the industry are needing people like us.
Absolutely. You can count on it. Gustavo?
There are a few words, Robin. Thank you very much for inviting us for this very pleasant meeting. Give to us the opportunity to say about us, our lives, our work, our company that we love a lot. NetApp company is our, not more a baby, but our son. It's kind of son. When we have a company, we have person working together. This is a very good thing to have. Thank you very much again for this opportunity. Everything that you want, that you need for us, please, I will for sure be in connect with you in LinkedIn, and maybe you will make a new
Maybe
history
we'll see you
from that.
together at some
Thank you very
point.
much.
Maybe we'll meet face to face.
For sure, for sure. All the times we was in Toronto last year. Maybe the next time
Maybe
we will
next
have
time you're in
some lunch.
Toronto,
Why
we'll say
not?
hello and we'll go to a Brazilian restaurant.
Yes, for sure. It will be very nice.
Well, thank you very much. And I want to thank one more time, Renato and Gustavo, for being part of this conversation. I want to thank our audience for tuning in on our podcast channels and also for looking us up on YouTube and viewing this, the podcast also on YouTube as well. So we are available on all the podcasting channel. We're available on YouTube. I encourage everybody to give us a like. It doesn't cost that much and it's free. And I hope you can subscribe to our, you find it good to subscribe to our channel. We put these videos out once a week and I hope you find it beneficial. Also, follow me on the blog site as well because a summary of this conversation will also be posted on our blog site. And I'm hoping to expand the communication on this one. So we'll see how it goes. So far, we just passed the 300,000 views on YouTube. So we're getting a little bit more attraction up there. And I'm surprised to see those kinds of good numbers coming on YouTube. YouTube must like what we're doing. So thanks again for the audience. Thanks for the guests that I had this morning. And it's a pleasure having you online here with me this morning. I look forward to further conversation together. So from me to the rest of you guys out there in the audience space, thanks again for everything. And I appreciate your support.